Bob and Pam, better than a year ago now, I brought you the story of corn farmers banding together to bring litigation against chemical and seed producer Syngenta. The claim is that Syngenta did knowingly sell seed corn with traits not yet approved for importation by the Chinese government. And when China began rejecting American corn shipments containing those traits, our domestic corn market tumbled. And many believe it's Syngenta to blame. Jason Knutson, partner with Habish, Habish & Rotier, represents corn producers right here in Wisconsin and joins us to give us an update on how the litigation is coming along. But first, Jason tells us just how we got here.
Several years ago, Syngenta marketed a couple different corn seeds, and they did that without approval to export it to China. And so a lot of farmers and a lot of grain elevators were purchasing these things and expecting that the market would stay steady because we'd be able to send millions of tons of corn over to China like we had in years past. Unfortunately, China did not accept the Syngenta corn, and eventually they just stopped accepting U.S. corn altogether because they got tired of having to test for the Syngenta strains, and that's what led to the market crashing a few years back. Several lawsuits were filed, including some nationwide class action cases. Tens of thousands of farmers are parts of these cases, and the litigation has moved forward to the point where now some bellwether trials or test trials will start to happen at the end of this month up in Minnesota. The verdicts from these bellwether trials will help the two sides understand what juries think of the cases and may help lead the case towards some kind of settlement or resolution.
Not just here in the Midwest. This affected farmers all across the nation.
Sure, absolutely. Obviously here in Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Indiana, we just produce a heck of a lot of corn up here. It's very important to us up here, but you're right. States all across the country have some corn production and will be affected.
Rural individuals aren't known to bring lawsuits against people. Has it been difficult to find farmers that will cooperate and help this go forward?
I grew up in downtown Minneapolis, and so I didn't have a lot of time interacting with farmers as a kid. What I can tell you in traveling across the Midwest and meeting with farmers on this case is they are intelligent business people, and when something happens that is just plain wrong, they're willing to stand up and do something about it. I agree with you. I would never imagine a farmer bringing a claim that wasn't righteous for any reason, not just because they're so busy, but that just isn't the way they operate. But I think they recognize this is a case where a business did something that they shouldn't have. It really affected a lot of farmers and their friends and neighbors. And so I've been really impressed with the, again, roughly 50,000 people who stood together to try to make a change here.
Just how many dollars are we talking about here? We're not talking about $1 million. We're talking about a lot, right?
Well, that's what we think. I mean, if you believe that crash in the market was caused by China refusing to accept U.S. corn, you know, then the damages are hundreds of billions of dollars. The real question will be, you know, talking about nickels and dimes, though, and that is, what does a jury think in terms of how much did this event cause a decrease in price per bushel? And if it was a dollar, the case is worth a certain amount. If it was $2, it's obviously worth twice as much. So it's just going to depend on what a jury ends up doing with it.
Once again, we're talking with Jason Knutson with Habish, Habish & Rotier. Jason, this seems like this could take quite a while to hash out. This won't happen overnight, will it?
It's not, although I will say things have been moving at a pretty decent pace, at least in litigation terms. The farmers have done a lot of work to gather up information that we've given to the court. So we've already produced receipts and grain elevator documents and crop insurance forms. So the court and the defense already have a lot of information about the damages. So I'm hopeful if the time comes where it's time for people to start getting paid, we won't be looking at another year to get that done.
Jason, if you remember, our corn price at the time at its peak was hovering right around that $7 mark. Some people might say this might have been just a strategic move by China to save a pile of money.
Well, that's a good point, and it's an argument we've heard for a couple years, but there are a couple reasons why I don't think that's true. And one is, when China refused our corn, when they refused U.S. corn, what they ended up doing was buying corn from other parts of Europe and Russia and paying more than they would have paid for U.S. corn. And the other thing that's happened more recently is Syngenta is actually in the process of being bought out by ChemChina, which, as you can tell by the name, is a China-based conglomerate. And so that argument's going to be pretty tough to make if basically Syngenta's new owners arguing that this was somehow all China's fault. That isn't an argument that I think we're too worried about.
Mr. Knutson, maybe you could explain to us, how does a company like Syngenta, with millions of dollars in research and millions of dollars invested in producing this stuff, make a move like this that was just so blatantly not businesslike, if that makes sense?
It makes sense. I think there are a lot of different possibilities, and it just depends on how much faith you still have in humanity. So if we want to give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe this was just a calculated risk and it just didn't turn out the way they had hoped. Maybe they really did expect they'd get approval from China quickly, and for whatever reason, it didn't come. If you want to go the other end of the spectrum, maybe this was just a cold-hearted business decision where Syngenta decided to roll the dice on the backs of the farmers, thinking if it worked out, great, and if it didn't, it's still cheaper for them to get this stuff to market 2 years sooner rather than wait on China. We have theories. We may never know for sure. It'll depend on what happens when the witnesses all testify. But either way, it seems like they took a chance, and they took it at the expense of the U.S. farmer.
All right, Jason, tell us again. These bellwether trials are coming up shortly. Why don't you tell us when they are, and when can we expect to hear something back from those?
The first one starts the last week of April up in Minneapolis, and that's the Mensik case, M-E-N-S-I-K. We found out just yesterday that the court is not going to allow simulcast, so we won't be able to get kind of daily reports of what's going on. But I would expect that trial will take a couple weeks. The jury may deliberate or think about it for a week or two. So my hope is we get a verdict sometime in May, maybe mid-May. And that'll obviously be a big news event for the farmers. And once that happens, I'm sure people will be talking about it. The second trial is set in June, and that's the one in Kansas City. Again, I bet it takes a month for that to wrap up. And then the third one is scheduled in August back in Minneapolis, and that's one of the class action claims. So after those three cases, I think we'll have a pretty good sense of what a jury thinks of this whole thing.
You said there's a pile of people that are involved in this case. Is it too late for some farmers to get on board? I mean, after the bellwether case, some farmers might think, well, maybe there is a shot at getting paid. Maybe I'll jump on board, too.
Yeah, I wish I could give you a simple answer to that question, but it's complicated because the laws are different in every state. So in some states, there might be a 2-year statute of limitation, and in others, there might be a 6-year statute. So the best thing for people to do is to get a hold of a lawyer in their state and ask specifically what they need to do. There's a chance that some farmers will just become part of one of the class actions, even if they don't do anything. Those have some disadvantages in that you're kind of treated like everybody else, but at least they may end up with something.
That was Jason Knutson with Habish, Habish & Rotier. He's just one of the hundreds of attorneys working on this case against Syngenta. Jason suggests if you're a corn producer to contact your attorney, as a conversation doesn't cost anything. As the bellwether trials, or as Jason calls them, test trials develop, I'll be sure to keep you up to date on what develops. From the southern end of the world's longest barn here in Madison, I'm Bryant Gill.